Your financial choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP professional, AEP, and you can visit us on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com and listen online each and every week at wdiy.org. Streaming live is available, and podcasts to prior shows are also available on either of those websites. On WDIY, you just go to local programming, scroll down to your financial choices, and preview the topics that are available to there today. Today is January 23rd, 2019. The markets were up today, the Dow closing at 24,575, the NASDAQ at 7,025, and the S&P at 2638. Our topic tonight is financial planning. What is it and who can help you? We are live tonight. We will take your questions. Lori C. is in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and if you decide to speak live on air with me, we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. If you're not comfortable talking live on air, you can just give your question to Lori. She'll write it down and bring it into me. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic and I will do my best to answer them. The number this evening is 610-758-8810. That is 610-758-8810. Email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. So tonight we are talking about financial planning. What is it and who can help you? And we'll kind of give you just the framework for it and what it is and why it's so important, at least from my perspective and for so many people as well. So let's start with talking about how the CFP board defines financial planning. The CFP board is the Certified Financial Planners board that was established many years ago. I wish I actually knew more of the history, but an organization that's committed to the financial planning profession. And they have developed standards of professional conduct for their certificates. And they define financial planning as the process of determining whether and how an individual can meet life goals through the proper management of financial resources. Financial planning integrates the financial planning process with the financial planning subject areas. So for us people in the real world, that we might not understand what all of that means, but hopefully someone who maintains or has that designation of certified financial planner professional, that they are a practitioner, that they understand what it means. So the financial planning is a process of determining whether and how an individual can meet life goals through the proper management of financial resources. Financial planning integrates the financial planning process with the financial planning subject areas. So a couple of the things we're going to talk about tonight is what is the financial planning process and what are the financial planning subject areas. So in knowing these, hopefully you will understand if you are engaging someone to help with financial planning or you think you're doing it on your own, you'll know if you're kind of covering the areas in the process that, you know, would ordinarily apply. So when we talk about the six steps to the financial planning process that the CFB board has outlined, they are talking about the process of financial planning, which includes six steps. One, establishing and defining the client-planner relationship. And we're going to talk about each of these after I've gone through them. So establishing and defining the client-planner relationship. Number two, gathering client data, including goals. Three, analyzing and evaluating the client's current financial status. Four, developing and presenting recommendations and or alternatives. Five, implementing the recommendations. And six, monitoring the recommendations. I want to talk about the subject areas as well, and then we're going to put this all together, okay? So the subject areas of financial planning, and this is probably what I talk to most with people when I'm talking about financial planning, are these subject areas. I define them just slightly different, or use different descriptors, I would say, than the CFP board. So what they talk about is the financial statement preparation and analysis, which could include cash flow analysis, planning, and budgeting. So they call it the financial statement preparation and analysis, insurance planning and risk management, employee benefits planning, investment planning, income tax planning, retirement planning, and estate planning. So all of those are subject areas that, in essence, might be covered through the financial planning process. If you were to go on the CFP website, cfp.net, it seems to be more geared toward the professionals on that particular website. That's the one I always go in on, so I'm not sure if there's actually one for the general public, but there is a link to talk about finding a financial professional. But in looking at the process that they talk about and the subject matters, there is a lot of, conversation from the CFP board around when a financial advisor is deemed to be engaged in financial planning, which is why it's important to understand the financial planning process and the subject areas if you are engaging someone to do financial planning for you. You want to make sure that if you think you're going in to have a financial plan done or you're asking someone for some financial planning help, that you understand the scope of the engagement, what's involved, what are they delivering, have you narrowed the scope from these subject areas? Maybe you're not going in to have any investment planning done. Maybe you just want someone to look at your retirement planning, or maybe you want someone just to do some income tax planning. Well, you may engage an accountant to do that, but maybe you might think, oh, I want to go to my financial planner for that and have them look and see if they give me a different perspective or something like that. So the scope of financial planning can be as broad as this or could be mutually limited to certain subject areas if you as the client want to limit that. And maybe you want to limit that because maybe you've already done all your estate planning with your estate attorney and you don't need someone to look at that. So maybe you want to limit the scope. Maybe the financial advisor isn't comfortable giving certain planning recommendations for a particular piece of your financial life. So together you would sit, review everything, and kind of decide what the scope of the financial planning engagement is going to be. So that is part of, let's go back to the process of the financial planning process. Part of the six steps to that process is number one, establishing and defining the client planner relationship. So when we come back from this first break, we're going to go through those six steps, kind of give you some idea of what they are, talk about the financial planning subject areas, which I think are the most important to make sure that you understand what your options are, what recommendations you might be getting, so that you know what to expect out of a financial plan or that financial planning process. And then I want to talk a little bit about, who is an advisor, what kind of advisors are there, and where can you get information on finding an advisor. Just disclosure, I happen to be a certified financial planner practitioner, and I'm buy into the process. So I'm a little skewed toward that and believe that the process works. And it's been a great organization to establish these standards for professionals and how they work with clients. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDIY offers many choices and real voices.
This is Steve Aronson. Join me and our other folk music hosts each weekday evening from 7 to 9 for a great mix of classic folk, bluegrass and old time, Celtic, blues, and contemporary songwriters. Plus, interviews, concert information, archived concerts, and more.
WDIY is the Lehigh Valley's local source for NPR news, public affairs, and diverse music at 88.1 FM and streaming on WDIY.org. Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. And tonight we're talking about financial planning. What is it and who can help you? We just went over the CFP board's definition of financial planning, which includes looking at the financial planning process, which includes six steps. The first step being establishing and defining the client-planner relationship. If you do decide to have a financial plan or you're going to someone that you believe is your financial advisor, or maybe it's the first time you're meeting someone and it's a financial advisor that you might have found online or you might have heard from a friend, what you should expect when you're having a conversation with them is to have an understanding of what the deliverables will be and what is the relationship, and establishing that and defining what it is. What are they as the planner delivering to you, and what as the client are you supposed to also provide? What information would you need to provide for that planner to do the evaluation, do the data analysis, etc.? So establish the relationship. What's going to be delivered? Is it a full financial plan? If it's a full financial plan, we would expect a majority of the subject areas to be covered, which I'll go over in a little bit. And if it is not going to be a comprehensive financial plan, what is it actually that you want recommendations from the planner regarding, such as just a retirement plan or just estate planning or just investment analysis? So you're going to establish and define the client-planner relationship, the deliverable, and the cost of it. How much are you paying for it? And how do you pay for it? Up front, you know, half on signing the engagement, half on delivery. So understand what the fee is as well. Is it hourly? Is it a flat fee? How is that established? Once you establish that relationship, typically that's with an engagement letter, similar to probably how attorneys have engagement letters when you engage a professional to provide advice. There's an engagement letter that sets the parameters for the relationship. Then the next steps would come into what, and hopefully you would have already discussed this before you sign any kind of engagement, is what is it that you need to provide? Because you also want to make sure that you're capable of providing the planner the information that they're going to need to give you a good analysis. They could talk about doing a financial plan, but if you're someone who is so disorganized, you have no idea how much money you spend, you don't file your tax returns, you don't have any investment accounts, well, I'm not sure that's a real financial plan. So there's certain information that they would need to do a forecast for you and to look at what financial planning you need. And with that, it is the next step of the process, which is gathering client data, including goals. So that client data is typically, a financial planner is going to want to look at your cash flow, so how you're spending money, what is your budget basically. This to me has always been the biggest hang up for most people. It's the hardest part. I have a little saying I've learned over the years that I kind of came up with, is that people who know how much money they spend are usually the ones who have money. The people who have no idea how much they spend sometimes are a little challenged in you know, creating and growing their assets. But the cash flow is very important and very critical to a good financial plan. And the data is only as good as the recommendations and output is only going to be as good as the data and the information that you put in. So cash flow, very important. What other data would be needed in a financial plan? The cash flow today while you're working, if you are working, and the cash flow that you would expect, the expenses you're going to expect when you retire. If people retire before age 65, they might not have health care available through work, so they're going to have health care needs. So that would be an expense item that you might not have now while you're working, but you would expect to have if you retire pre-age 65 when you otherwise would go on Medicare. So you want to understand the cash flow now and as they would be aligned with your goals. So I'm making X amount of money today. I'm going to give my planner a pay stub and my tax returns. They can see this is the income I'm making. But I might say I want to retire. I want to work part-time, so I might want to work till age 60 and then work part-time for 5 years. These are kind of establishing some of those goals along with the data, okay? So data, tax returns, payroll stubs, that kind of thing. But my goal is if I retire early, then here are the other things I need to consider. And maybe you won't think of all of those, but you hope your planner will help you think of those and realize those. Like you might think your cash flow is okay now while you're working because you're not paying for health care. But then if you retire, your health care might be, $12,000 or $20,000 a year. Well, if you hadn't thought of that, hopefully your planner might point that out to you, depending on what kind of health care you have available to you. If you're someone who thinks you want to travel while you're working, the travel budget might be easy to make. But once you retire, are you still going to be able to travel at that level? So that's why it's sometimes important to run a forecast, because you don't always know how that's going to hit your pocketbook when your lifestyle changes. So client data, what else? So I talked about cash flow and your resources for cash flow, whether it's pensions, meaning your income coming in, your pensions, your salary, your Social Security. If you have investments that give you a return, you've got interest, dividends, that kind of thing. So a planner would want to look at all of this data for cash flow. They would want to look at retirement accounts. So your retirement benefits, that's where when we're looking at employee benefit booklets, we're looking for, okay, are they going to have, what does the health care look like? Do they have retiree health care? Do they have available to them flexible spending accounts or health savings accounts? Do they have life insurance available? So the employee booklets, part of the retirement review, I would say, what does the 401k look like? What is the employer match? This is all important and goes into the data analysis. So the data collecting is cash flow, retirement benefits, pension illustrations, because you might not be getting your pension now. Maybe you're going to retire at age 60 and your pension might not be available to you until 65. But if your pension illustration shows at 65, you're going to get this benefit, that's under the assumption that you're working till age 65. So we would want to make sure that whatever pension expectations you have, that it's aligned with your reality of what you hope your plan to be. If you retire early, does that need to be adjusted? The same thing applies to Social Security. Some people don't realize those illustrations for Social Security make assumptions about how long you're working. When they say you're going to get this money at full retirement age, that's assuming you're still working. Now, if you've already retired and you had zero income in the last couple years, then Social Security has factored that into your illustration. They use your last earnings to do the further projection. So if I retire at 60 and don't work at 62 and I get my Social Security illustration at that age, it would show that I didn't work for a couple years. So they typically factor that in that projection. All right. Folks, we're coming up at our next break, but I'm going through the financial planning process. And in talking about this, it's important to understand all how all these pieces fit together. And you're going to see as I go through the process, when I'm done talking about the six steps to the financial planning process and then move into the subject areas, you're going to see how this all works together and why it's so important. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
Lost my voice there for a second. Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. And tonight we're talking about financial planning. What is it and who can help you? So right now we're talking about the kind of what is it piece and the six steps to the financial planning process that is put forth by the CFP board, the Certified Financial Planner Board. And a little bit later in the show, I'm going to talk about the CFP certification requirements and kind of what that is and talk about different ways to kind of check on advisors and see who can help you with some of this. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And you can talk live on air with me, or if you're not comfortable talking live, you can just give your question to Lori C. She'll write it down and bring it into the studio. So when the second step of the financial planning process, so the first step was establishing and defining the client-planner relationship. The second step is gathering client data, including the goals. Very important on the data. We talked about providing the cash flow. What are the inflows and what are the outflows? And again, the part that holds people back quite often is they don't have a budget. They don't know how much they spend. Well, if you talk with your advisor, whoever you're engaging to help you with your financial plan, they can help you get through that because you don't want that to keep you from moving forward with kind of understanding your financial situation. They can help you with that. There's various ways to kind of figure out the cash flow. Basically, one of the simple ways is if you don't have a budget and you know that every dollar that comes in goes out and your bank account never changes and you're not saving any money other than maybe what you might be saving in your retirement account, we can figure out what your cash flow is. If you're someone who has no cash flow and you have piles and piles of credit card debt, then we know that you're spending more than what's coming in. Generally, these are general kind of observations because there could be extenuating circumstances like someone lost a job or, you know, a family member had some tragedy and you had to help them out. So there's always some extenuating circumstances. But in a nutshell, in some general guidelines, we can kind of tell some of this. Sometimes there might be people who don't know how much they spend, and they come in and they have tons and tons and tons of money in savings. Well, chances are they are not spending as much money as they have coming in because they're saving so much. So that tells us that they're not spending as much as they have coming in. And, you know, we can kind of go from there to come up with some kind of a budget. But it's great if we have an idea of how someone's spending because we can look at the areas of spending sometimes. If someone's plan is hard-pressed to make it and help you reach your goals, and we see that you're, you know, doing a lot of gifting, well, then we can talk to you about that and say, well, you know, maybe if you cut back on some of this gifting, if it's not necessary, it will help you reach these other goals that you had. Or someone might be spending a lot on entertainment or food, and you just need someone to sometimes hold you accountable in recognizing it and putting a name on it, and maybe you can save a little bit more. So cash flow, detailed cash flow can be important. What I tell some people, so many people put everything on credit cards nowadays because you can get points and credits and miles and all different kinds of things. So if people don't know how much they're spending, but they're putting everything on the credit card other than maybe the mortgage or the car payment, that's also a really easy way to kind of know how you're spending, because you can get an annual statement from the credit card company. Many of the credit card companies, you can get an annual statement that even summarizes it. And that's kind of a great starting place as well. So cash flow, retirement benefits, the retirement benefits employee booklets are great, great information on what kind of benefits the company provides, if they are doing a matching program on a 401k. Also, the summary plan document is often valuable if someone has a 401k through work, and the summary plan document provides a lot of information. It will let us know if you can do, you can typically do the pre-tax contributions. Can you do the after-tax contributions? Can you do a Roth 401k? Can you borrow from your 401k? What is the matching on the 401k? What is the vesting period? What happens if something happens to you? Is there employer stock in the plan? So retirement benefits is a great one of those data points we need to look at. Investment statements are important, not just to know the value of the accounts and assets you have available to help you reach your goals, but also to understand the allocation. Often we have seen where we have talked to clients and we ask about their risk tolerance and do questionnaires, and you find out the risk tolerance is, conservative, and you look at how they're investing and they're very aggressive, and it was because they did a set it and forget it 30 years ago when they started working and they were young and they had an aggressive allocation and never changed it again. So it's very important to look at the investment statement. So hopefully if you're engaging a financial planner to do a financial plan for you, these are some of the things they're going to ask for and how important it is to really provide them. I think sometimes people get worried or nervous that the financial advisors being extra snoopy, or they don't need to know that. You just want to know if you're going to be okay. But if you're truly looking at a financial plan, you want to kind of get the value from all different perspectives. And so why not give them all the data and the information needed to make the best recommendations that they can with the information available? So we talked about cash flow, we talked about the retirement benefits, investment statements, insurance, risk management, we call this. Why is that important in financial planning? Well, risk management is important because if you have worked very hard to save money and have assets and you want to protect them, and if you have a family or loved ones who may be relying on you, either while you're working and your working income, or maybe after you're gone, who's going to pay for the mortgage or the cars or kids' education or your retirement needs, nursing care, whatever it might be. So risk management, that would be looking at your car insurance, what kind of deductibles you have, what kind of liability protection do you have, collision, your home. So those declaration pages you have for those policies, your car, your home, are very important to kind of look at and review. Do you have disability if you're working? What does the disability look like? Is it a group policy through work? Is it employer provided? Do you have it outside of work? Quite often we see professionals who have individual policies on their disability. How are they paying for them? Are they doing it through some kind of payroll deduction if it might be a benefit through work but that they have to pay for? Do we do it after-tax basis, a pre-tax basis? So disability, that could make a big difference. Life insurance, we look at it. Are there group policies, again, through work? Is it a retirement benefit? Or sometimes people can have group policies through professional organizations or affiliated kind of groups like AAA or, the Medical Association or Financial Planner Association, whatever professional groups that sometimes will offer that out to their members. Group life, AARP, I think, probably has life insurance that they provide. So there are group policies you can have, typically maybe term policies. Some people will get whole life policies or other types of policies that may provide cash value buildup. They all act different and are different. And so it's very important to not just say, well, I have life insurance and I have $1 million policy. Well, it depends on what kind of policy it is. And it's very important that you, if you're having a financial plan done, that you're looking at the details behind all of these different resources that you have or that you've invested in. When we come back from this next break, I'll talk a little bit more about some of the data we're going to get for this process. And I realize I'm probably going to have to speed up my delivery here if I want to fit everything in that I want to talk about tonight. But if you have questions, I'd love to hear them. The phone number is 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air or off air, whatever you're more comfortable. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY Allentown, Lehigh Valley Public Radio, 88.1. Many choices, real voices. Your Lehigh Valley weather, currently, it's about 38 degrees, cloudy. There's a chance of rain starting any time now. We've been saying that all day. But tonight, it's going to get pretty wet. Mainly after 7 p.m. Temperatures are going to rise, and by tomorrow morning, they'll be up around 50 degrees. Tomorrow, lots of rain, sometimes really heavy. We could have 1.5-2 inches of rain possible in the area, high around 50, increasing winds in the afternoon. There's a flood watch out there, so please be aware of water on the roads. We know that we've had a lot of it this year, and you need to be cautious when you're out there. Thursday night, partly cloudy, starts to clear, low back down to 24. Friday, a slight chance of snow showers in the morning, and then sunny, high near 32. Friday night, chance of snow showers, but mostly cloudy, low of 21. And Saturday, sunny and high near 27. Let's go back to Lori and this really interesting discussion on financial planning.
Thank you, Norm. Welcome back to the show, folks. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810, and you can talk live on air. Or if you're not comfortable talking live on air, you can give your question to Lori C. She'll write it down and bring it in to me. And you can also email questions through your financialchoices.com website. We are talking about financial planning, what is it, and who can help you. And we've gone over the CFP board's definition of financial planning. We're going through the financial planning process. There's 6 steps. I've gotten stuck on the second step, and that's because I get so excited talking about this stuff because I think it's that important. And I love details. And occasionally my husband, I'll come home from the radio show and he'll say, well, hon, you kind of got into the details tonight. You got to kind of pull back a little bit. But I do love details because they say the devils are in the details. So when we're talking about gathering the client data, this is what I want to stress. If you're going to go have a financial plan done, make sure that you're giving the person who's your advisor, the person who's doing the financial plan, the information that is, you know, going to empower them the most to give you the best recommendations. If you're paying for it anyway, you might as well make sure you do it thoroughly. So we talked about the cash flow, the retirement benefits, the investment statements, insurance, and then taxes. Tax returns are important to look at. The tax returns provide a lot of information on wages, income, pensions, IRAs, if you have other income, if you have business income, if you have rental income. There's a lot of information on an income tax return that will help your advisor or financial planner kind of understand how all these pieces fit together and how they kind of flow through onto the tax return, the results of the planning and that you've done, or the the success you've had in either working and or investing. It kind of flows through on the tax return. It shows itself. Estate planning is a big part of financial planning, making sure that all of these assets that you've accumulated or these resources that you're working on accumulating, the hopes you have, the goals you have, if you're not the one who gets to benefit from them during your lifetime and something happens to you, well, who would you want to benefit after yourself if you didn't spend everything? So estate planning, very important to look at, and that's typically where we'd want to look at the wills, powers of attorney, there's trust documents, healthcare directives, living will, that type of thing. So your estate planning documents. But it's not just that when we're talking about estate planning. That's what people think typically. But it's also understanding the asset titling, the beneficiary designations, the primary beneficiaries, the contingent beneficiaries. That should be part of the financial plan, understanding what's going to happen if something were to happen to you. So from many different angles. So that's the data gathering. So you gather up all this data, maybe fill out a questionnaire, whatever the financial advisor or the person that's going to do the financial planning for you, fill out the questionnaire. Typically, what you're looking for in a questionnaire would be, what are your goals? And your goals might be around, I want to retire at X age. It might be, I want to downsize and buy another home somewhere else. It might be, I want to buy a vacation home. It could be, I want to provide for my children's education. It might be, I want to make sure that I'm independent of my children and that I can take care of myself into my old age. Whatever your goals are. That's the reason you're asking someone to do a financial plan for you. You want to see this projection. You want to see if you're set up to meet these goals that you have. Then that financial planner will do the third step of the financial planning process, which will analyze and evaluate the I'll read it verbatim, analyzing and evaluating the client's current financial status. So they take all this information, they evaluate where you are, they evaluate what it will project out to be, and you can talk about that with them too. Are you projecting this out for the next 5 years, 10 years, 30 years till your life expectancy? They should be asking questions about your family history and your health as well then, because if everyone in the family drops dead at, 65, that might, fall into your goals that you want to make sure you're living your life to the full extent possible through age 65, and then they have just enough to get by beyond that, because maybe that's just not how it goes in your family. But you could have longevity in your family and everyone lives to 100. Well, we're going to want to make sure that you're going to have adequate assets to take care of you in those later years as well. Your money would have to last longer. In general, people are living longer, which is why it's kind of nice sometimes to do a financial plan to make sure that if we're projecting out 30 or 40 years that you're going to, based on the information that's available today, that you're going to do okay. The goals, to me, are important if it helps give you direction, if it helps give you focus. So if you have the goals and you put a name to them, that generally helps people kind of engage and participate in their own financial choices and be smarter about their financial choices. So that's why it's important to establish goals. So the planner would analyze and evaluate the current financial status and develop and present recommendations or alternatives. So they look at the information and they see what makes sense, what doesn't make sense in aligning with the client's goals. Are they on target? Are they on track? What could they do differently? They hopefully are going to add value to you in what you're already doing and give you some good recommendations and work with you, let you review those, take the time to review them, see if they make sense, but also hopefully offer alternatives. So yeah, here's what you look like. Looks okay, what you're doing, boom. And that could be a financial plan where they just say, yeah, you're going to be okay. A lot of the online kind of financial planning that I see these days seem to say, what is your number? Oh yeah, you've got an 85% chance you're going to be great. And that's really the extent of it. So if if that's a finance, and that could be a financial plan, you just want to know if you're okay. And maybe you don't need to participate too much. You just keep doing what you're doing. For me, the fun is in looking at options and what other things can you be doing and what might you be missing or, you know, or could you enjoy your money even more than, you know, what you thought you could? So it's about kind of seeing that picture of where you are and where you can go. So hopefully recommendations and alternatives. And then from that, from there, after you've had a chance to look at everything, then you talk about implementing the recommendations. And that, to me, is also part of the key because, again, you can have these goals, which is great. You need the goals, and you can do the analysis, but unless you implement, it was just that picture, right? It wasn't actually, you know, action. It's just looking to see if you're okay. So you want the action items, implementing the recommendations. And that you could work with the advisor on those actions or maybe just do them yourself or go implement them with any number of people. If, you know, one of the action items is go update your estate documents, then you're going to go to your attorney and work with your attorney on updating the estate documents. If you work with an investment advisor outside of this planner, then you would go to your investment advisor and work with them to implement the investment decisions. If you get your taxes done by, you know, a CPA or someone on the corner, you know, you can go implement those recommendations yourself or with that advisor if they happen to be helping you. Then the monitoring comes in, and that's the sixth step of the financial planning process. And that monitoring, again, can be in conjunction with an advisor that you're working with or any of those other professionals, or, you know, you take that responsibility on for yourself. So now let's move on to the financial planning subject areas. And they're going to sound very familiar because the financial planning subject areas are basically related to all of that data that I mentioned you would provide if you were going to do a financial plan. Again, that financial plan to see if you're going to be able and how you're going to meet your life goals. So the financial planning subject areas, I typically call this one cash flow. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, financial statement preparation and analysis is what the CFP board says. And then they put in parentheses, including cash flow analysis, planning, and budgeting. So I'd like to say the subject areas are the cash flow, the ins and the outs, insurance planning and risk management, which I say is, you know, as I mentioned, all those insurance documents. That's why the financial planner or the financial advisor is asking you for this information, because they want to make sure if you're doing a comprehensive financial plan. Remember, I said it's sometimes just a little piece of it, but I'm talking about kind of a comprehensive financial plan. That is the reason they're asking for all of this data, because the CFP board tells us that there's these subject areas that we would want to cover in a true financial, in a comprehensive financial plan. These subject areas, that's why we're asking for the cash flow. That's why we're asking for the insurance, the declaration pages or the policies, the investment planning. We're looking at the investment statements, the income tax planning. We're looking at the income tax returns, the retirement planning. We're looking at that retirement or the employee benefits booklet, which talks about the 401k or the pension illustrations or the Social Security statements. So that's the retirement planning piece, the estate planning. That's the document. So all of that data gathering that I mentioned is all related to those subject areas. And that would be a comprehensive financial plan that if you want a picture of your whole, you know, kind of financial situation, you want to make sure that you're kind of getting recommendations in each of these areas. And I've talked about this on other shows, but here's the big takeaway from this, why these subject areas are so important. And this I cannot emphasize enough. And I call them six subject areas that the CFP board also mentions: employee benefits planning. So that's really kind of, to me, the part of the retirement planning, looking at the employee benefits booklets. But what's important, the takeaway, these six subject areas, why are they these six subject areas? It is because if you do one thing in one of the areas, it impacts another area. We see this over and over again. If you make a decision about putting, maxing out your 401k and putting away every penny into your retirement account, that's great. We love that. But guess what? If you have no money now and you're not getting a paycheck because you put it all into your retirement account, that might not work out so well for your cash flow. And then that could send you down a road of, putting too much on credit cards and then debt. That might not be the way that goes. Or maybe you're someone who's not putting any money in your retirement account. Well, guess what that impacts? That impacts your assets. That impacts your retirement planning. That impacts your tax return. If you're not putting any money in your retirement account, if you're working, you get a tax deduction. That affects all these other areas that we're talking about, these subject areas. That's why financial planning can be so powerful. It's knowing and understanding how all these pieces work together, and that if you make a decision in one area of your financial life, it's going to impact another area of your financial life. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the CFP certification requirements, just because I think that's important, and they're coming out with new standards, and it's at the top of our, awareness list. And then I want to talk a little bit about finding a financial advisor as well. If you have questions, there's still time. The phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services, including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Not only is becoming a WDIY member a great way to support the programs you love, it has its benefits. WDIY members have access to our weekly member ticket giveaway emails. Discover great concerts, theater performances, film screenings, and more, all while supporting the many choices and real voices on WDIY. Make your gift today at 610-694-8100, extension 7, or wdiy.org. Thank you.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert, and you're listening to Your Financial Choices. And we are talking about financial planning. What is it and who can help you? And kind of going over the process and the areas of financial planning and how important it is that if you are engaging someone to help you with a financial plan, that you kind of understand the importance of the input and you understand the expected output and have an understanding of the engagement, what you're signing up for and what you can get out of it, and making sure that you're engaged in that process. If you're paying someone to help you, make sure you're doing your part, doing your homework. I would say most financial advisors are in the business because they enjoy helping people, and they can help you more when they have been given adequate information and appropriate information in analyzing, doing an analysis of your financial plan. So I want to talk briefly, though, for a minute. We've talked about the financial planning and financial planning process from the CFP board. Activities that the CFP board would not likely consider to be material elements of financial planning include opening an account or completing an application. So the reason I'm bringing this up is sometimes people will think they're working with an advisor who's giving them financial planning, and they may not be. So you also need to make sure you understand the expectations you can have from an advisor that you're working with. Another not likely to be considered material elements of financial planning: fact-finding to meet regulatory requirements for suitability, such as know your customer rules. So back in the day when so many more people were just kind of working with brokers and not really necessarily financial planning, you'd just go to, a broker to, buy some stock for you or sell some stock or buy some mutual funds. They have a different level of getting to know your client. It's suitability, so know your customer. So that's fact-finding. That's not necessarily information that they need or would use for financial planning. They have to make sure, where do you live? Are you who you say you are? What is your risk tolerance? That kind of thing. It's not you know, full-fledged financial planning. If they solely provide brokerage and or insurance products or services, if they engage in activity solely related to the sale of a specific product, acting as a mortgage broker without providing any other financial services, completing tax returns without providing any other financial services, teaching a financial class or continuing education program. This program, because we're just educational, we're not giving any specific advice. This is not financial planning. We're talking about what it is, but we're not giving advice on financial planning. So those are kind of those activities. So don't always assume that you're getting financial planning. You want to make sure you understand what that engagement is, and that's establishing and defining the client-planner relationship in the first step of the process. CFP certification requirements, they're administered by the CFP board, identifies to the public that those individuals who've been authorized to use the CFP certification marks in the U.S. have met rigorous professional standards and have agreed to adhere to the principles of integrity, objectivity, competence, fairness, confidentiality, professionalism, and diligence when dealing with clients. They must pass a comprehensive CFP certification exam, pass the CFP board's fitness standards for candidates and professionals eligible, agree to abide by the code of ethics and professional responsibility and rules of conduct, which put clients' interest first, and comply with the financial planning practice standards, which spell out what clients should be able to reasonably expect from the financial planning engagement. So, you know, there was a lot of talk for a while when they were talking about fiduciaries and fiduciary responsibility, and would there be fiduciary responsibility to brokers and or like with IRAs and all kinds of talk. And I forgot what they called it. I don't know if it was the fiduciary rule. See, I've already forgotten it because it went by the wayside. But CFPs, in most instances, have a fiduciary responsibility, which is a duty of loyalty or to act in the best interest of their client. So when we talk about what is an advisor and you're looking to engage someone for financial planning, just understand who you're working with and what their responsibilities are to you. Because a financial advisor, that definition has gotten very broad, I would say. Back in the day, people would say, oh, I'm going to call my broker. And everyone kind of knew what the broker was. Well, now everybody's, and I'm generally, being a little, I won't even go there. A lot of people might say they're financial advisors, but, you know, you really kind of have to look under the hood to see who it is you're working for. So there are, you know, quite often you hear about people, oh, I found, you know, you on the internet and things like that. Well, I Googled finding a financial planner on Google. I searched finding a financial planner in Google, and you get 33,200,000 results. 33,200,000 results. So if you're someone who gets overwhelmed, that could be very overwhelming. What was interesting to me, and I think I need to let the CFP board know, is none of the first page, none of the results on the first page resulted in the CFP board or the Financial Planning Association, which are two groups in our community that are really promoting, you know, fiduciary responsibility, professional responsibility, CFP marks, and that kind of thing. So I thought that was interesting. I did find a lot of insurance companies, investment firms, and financial websites that popped up when I searched for finding a financial planner. Now, there are a number of organizations that do help people find financial advisors. I'm not endorsing any of these. I'm just mentioning them because this is what I then went to search. So there's an organization called NAPFA, which is the National Association of Personal Financial Advisors. They are fee only. And their website was napfa.org. And then you can, you know, click on find an advisor from there. Finding a CFP, when I Googled for that, finding a CFP, it resulted in 5,850,000 results. So that brought that search down considerably from just finding a financial planner. So that gives you an idea of, you know, there are business websites, financial websites, financial organizations, investment companies, and, you know, advisors who may not have those CFP designations who are also, you know, maybe doing some kind of financial advice. That resulted, financial planner, 33 million results. Finding a CFP resulted in $5,850,000. So that really reduced that. Then the CFP board was fifth on the list. But their website is CFP, that's C as in cat, F as in Frank, P as in Paul, .net, CFP.net. And then they have a place where you can say, click on find a CFP professional. Financial Planning Association, that's a national organization, I think, that has, you know, various chapters. I typically was very involved with the tri-state area, going down to Philly for a lot of events. Haven't participated as much in recent years because I'm very busy up here. But the Financial Planning Association, national with chapters, you can go find your financial planner now at PlannerSearch.org. So that's through the Financial Planning Association. Now, there are other ways to check on financial advisors as well. So you can, you know, if you know someone or someone has referred someone to you, you can go on their website, you can poke around. There are also a couple regulatory websites that are available for you to check out advisors. And if there's any you know, complaints and things like that against them. And if they are a broker, someone who's licensed, you know, through FINRA, they have a website called brokercheck.finra.org. So that's brokercheck.finra.org. And you can search for information on a firm or you can search for information on an individual. Not all financial advisors are brokers. Not all of them have to have that licensing. So you may not find your advisor on that website. They may be an investment advisor representative if they're working or through a firm that is a registered investment advisory firm. Registered investment advisory firms are regulated through the Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, and they have investment advisor public disclosures on their website, and that's at advisorinfo.sec.gov, and they spell advisor with an E. So sometimes you'll see people spell advisor with an O. They spell advisor with an E. So it's advisor with an E, advisorinfo.sec.gov, and you can also check there on a firm and individuals as well. So that just kind of gives you, you know, it's just an extra level of due diligence that you can do in checking on who you're working with if you don't already have, you know, a good referral or if you're just not sure. So I think it's a good idea to do your due diligence and check on folks and check on their background, their education, if that's important to you. Part of the SEC filing that advisors have to, that registered investment advisory firms have to do, they have to disclose, you know, who they work with. So that's sometimes important. Is the person you're working, the firm you're working with, the advisor you're working, are they independent? Are they affiliated with a big brokerage house or wirehouse? So you want to see, you know, how they're affiliated. Their fees are disclosed on in some of the filings that they have to do. The assets that they manage firm-wide could be on there. And then there's a second part. It's the ADV part two, and there's A and B, and it will have the bios of the different advisors. So, you know, you just want to do your homework. I think it's always a good idea before you do that. Just like you would if you're going on an interview for a job at some company, you're going to research the company, right? You're going to make sure you know who you're going to work for and if it all makes sense. So, folks, we talked about financial planning tonight. We talked about the six steps of the financial planning process, and we talked about the subject areas, and to me, going back to that being the most important piece is understanding how all the pieces of your financial life work together, and are you making the most of your financial choices within each of these areas? Are you making the most of your cash flow? Are you making the most of your investment options based on your risk tolerance? Are you making the most of your retirement plan options and saving for your retirement? And are you taking care of your risk management and making sure you have the proper insurance coverage and taking advantage of the tax code that's available to us and maximizing that to the extent that you can as well, all while making sure all these pieces of your financial life work together. And of course, there's always little offshoots here and there, like education planning and long-term care planning and all that kind of thing. But this is the guts of it. This is the guts of the financial planning. Now, if you're ever interested in learning more about any particular area, we have podcasts of prior shows where I'm sure from time to time over the past 10 years, we've covered various aspects of these, because you can do a deep dive on any one of these topics and talk, you know, on and on about various aspects of it. So there would be more information on WDIY.org under local programming, Your Financial Choices.